everybody, and welcome in to a special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and I'll be with you in the driver's seat as we talk about some MLB news while welcome a very special guest to today's show. With today's guest, we'll be talking about MLB Awards Week, which occurred last week. We'll also talk about the Cubs and White Sox in regards to free agency, plus a bit about his amazing career in sports media. Before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season this year in Crestwood. Buy tickets today to be part of history next summer. Call 708-489-2255. Again, that's 708-489-2255 to purchase tickets for Thunderbolts home game. Well, today, in lieu of the MLB awards that came out last week, I thought it'd be fitting to have an MLB-related guest on the show this week. And fortunately enough, we were able to make this happen. With today's guest, I talked with him about MLB Awards Week last week, and he gives me his thoughts on the winners and who he thought should have won. We also talk about the Cubs and White Sox in free agency, analyze Bryce Harper and Manny Machado's next move, plus talk about his great sports media career. At this time, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for your continued support in my endeavors. I'm so happy that I get to bring to you the biggest names in sports and sports media all the time on this podcast, and I hope you enjoy the interview that's to come. It's now time for our special guest. He began his sports media career as a host and reporter for NBC6 Miami and Sun Sports. In 2012, he joined MLB Network as a studio host, primarily for MLB Tonight and The Rundown. Today, in addition to his duties at MLB Network, he also hosts on the NHL Network, calls play-by-play for the Pac-12 Network and Sportsnet New York, while hosting on SiriusXM. Please welcome Scott Braun to the show. Scott, how are you doing today, and thank you for being here on the show.
John, I'm great. Thanks for the introduction. I really appreciate it.
To start today, Scott, let's take a look at last week's award winners in Major League Baseball. Now, of course, there were some guys who were locks and guys who were favorited to win. Jacob DeGrom, a perfect example of that. But there were some surprises as well. What are your reactions to last week's awards?
Yeah, to be honest, John, I felt like the writers pretty much nailed it. I didn't think there were many surprises. I mean, if you want to go backwards to forwards, you start with the MVP awards. I think Mookie Betts was a lock, and I think it was pretty obvious pretty early on in the season compared to how it usually takes the end of September to find out who the MVP is, which was more the case in the National League with Christian Yelich because he really emerged in the second half of the season. But by the last few weeks of the year, you said, wow, Christian Yelich has just run away with this thing, even though in the beginning of the season, I remember Freddie Freeman was a really strong candidate as the Braves were surprising. And then Javi Baez, also a very strong candidate with the defense that he played and the uptick in offense for him this past season. So I think Christian Yelich in the second half ran away with it based on the really Barry Bonds-ish numbers that he put up in the second half of the season to help his team get to the postseason. And I don't think the Brewers make it to the postseason without him. So if you look at the Cy Young, I think there was some debate between Blake Snell and Justin Verlander. A lot of that had to do with innings pitched. And it's almost like 180 innings is the new 200 innings. So for Blake Snell, that was enough to win the Cy because number-wise and number prevention-wise, he was better than Verlander. And then in the National League, I mean, that was about as obvious as it gets. With Jacob DeGrom. Rookie of the Year was a landslide victory for Ronald Acuña Jr. over Juan Soto, and some people were surprised about that. I wasn't, only because I think those two were close, but I'd give the slight edge to Acuña. So if you think about it, if every writer thinks that way and goes, oh, it's close, but I give the slight edge to Acuña, then you're still going to have a blowout between first and second. Shohei Ohtani was definitely the American League Rookie of the Year for me. I think you really do have to add up pitching and hitting, and even though he didn't hit as much plate appearance-wise as Miguel Andujar and even Gleyber Torres, I mean, he did put together one-third of a starting pitcher's numbers this year, 10 starts, and they were exceptional. So I know we're not used to doing that, but you got to add those two together. And then manager of the year is always difficult. There's a lot of choices you could go with. Usually the way that writers have shifted towards is which team is most surprising, which team has overachieved this past season. So I think they did a really nice job. And also one more thing on the MVP part, I think it says a lot, not just about the character of these two players, because they're so well respected and great in the clubhouse, but about the type of overall player that they are and what's being looked at and looked for in Major League Baseball nowadays is the complete all-around player. We always use five tools. We're looking for five-tool players. I think that's the case more than ever. These are supreme athletes. Both Yelich and Betts do every single facet of the game very well, whether it's base running, defense, hitting, clutch hitting, etc. So it was a really nice awards week.
Scott Braun here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Scott, going to the free agent market this year, there are obviously two names that have been dominating the headlines in Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. At first glance, what are you expecting their contract situation to look like? I mean, are you anticipating the $350 to $400 million price tag that's being reported?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, for Bryce Harper, he received a reported offer from the Washington Nationals at around 10 years, $300 million. I believe that was just more of a starting point, and that was an opportunity for them to have some exclusivity with him while he was still under their watch at the end of the season and throw it out there. But I think the baseline has been set, at least for Harper, in that range. Now, yes, you can make the case that Manny Machado did hurt his stock in the postseason. I think that's a fair case. I still think he's going to get at least well over, I would say, $200, if not $250 million, and probably closer to $300 million. And I think that's the same case for Bryce Harper. I think Harper, his agent, Scott Boras, is always looking at certain benchmarks. I think they'll look at Giancarlo Stanton's contract in the $325 million range and try and up that, even if it's only upped by $1 million. So I think you're looking at both players in that low $300 to mid $300 million range.
Now, it's also been reported, you know, that the White Sox are interested in making a splash this offseason and pursuing either Harper or Machado. How realistic is that report to you?
I think it's somewhat realistic because I've heard some people tell me, well, the White Sox aren't ready to compete now. Who knows how long it'll take for them to be a postseason contender? And obviously, they have a pretty stacked farm system and some young players. Some of them have not come along yet, but that still could come. And when you look at Machado and Harper, what makes them unique, John, is the fact that they're both 26 years old. So even if the White Sox don't have it all together for 2019, even if technically they don't have it all together for 2020, guess what? Machado and Harper would still be just 28 years old after all of that. So I think it's realistic. I think also the fact that the White Sox seemed quite serious about looking into trading for Manny Machado last offseason, which was a bit of a head-scratcher because you're saying, well, he's only going to be under 1 year of control for them. They don't look like they're ready yet in 2018, which was the case. But for them, they thought maybe if they brought him in, show them the culture, and tried to lock him up while he was there, it would be a good idea for them to pull off. They didn't obviously pull that off. The Orioles didn't trade him until halfway through the season. But I think the White Sox are serious. Obviously, they have a hole at third base, and technically, yeah, Harper would fit in there too. So I think they'll be serious. I don't know if they'll actually pull off either of those players. I think the Philadelphia Phillies get at least one of them, so already you can scratch one off, and I think that's probably Machado, but we'll see. I think they're in the running. Absolutely, I'd put them on the short list.
So here in Chicago, we just talked about the White Sox. Now, the Cubs, on the other hand, they've been pretty quiet so far. You know, they've been talking about Joe Maddon and his lame duck period in regards to managerial changes. What do you expect them to do, though, in regards to player personnel and free agency here in 2018 and 19?
I think they've somewhat indicated that they have spent a lot, and that's true, and that they're not going to necessarily just blow away the number that they have right now. So I think Theo and his crew will be very creative in figuring out which holes to plug. I think they definitely have work to do with their bullpen. I think they're also relying on the band coming back together for maybe one more run, at least as far as Joe Maddon leading the squad. So, because if the Cubs end up either missing the postseason or falling out early like they did in this past postseason, then I think you could have some changes from the manager all the way down. I mean, we had those Chris Bryant rumors float around. I don't put much stock into that. Even if you were the Cubs and you thought that was a good idea and you thought you could get enough back to help the team long-term and short-term, Chris Bryant's stock is not in a good spot right now because he had the shoulder issues. So teams would want to see what he looks like at the start of the 2019 season. So I think the Cubs are going to get very creative with trades. I don't expect them to go too crazy in terms of spending, though, because they've done that. They've done that for the past few seasons now, and eventually you hit a point where it's your limit. So I don't think the Cubs are a team that's going to be in on Bryce Harper, going to be in on Manny Machado. They don't really need much with their starting rotation, and those are the guys that are going to be expensive after those big two, like Dallas Keuchel and Patrick Corbin. So I think we're looking a little bit lower down the line for Chicago to patch up some holes. But you look at most spots on that roster, and they're in pretty good shape. When you look at the position players, when you look at the starting, sure, everyone can always add to their bullpen, and they definitely will. I didn't love their bullpen, even though the numbers were good this past season. I just didn't trust a ton of guys heading into the playoffs. I mean, we didn't even really get to see how that played out because they didn't last long. But, yeah, offensively, they went through some really streaky parts of the season. So I think they're going to be creative, like I said, but you could see a somewhat similar roster in 2019 than you did to 2018 where they say, hey, let's give it one more go.
Do you think, you know, in regards to Joe Maddon, do you think the Cubs are demanding too much from him? I mean, he's won 90-plus games in every year that he's managed there. He's brought a World Series back to Chicago. I mean, what more can he do? What are your thoughts on that idea?
Yeah, he should be winning a World Series every year now, right? It took 100-something years, and now he should be winning every season. No, hey, you're right. The question is, how long of a leash do you get when you do something like what you did with Chicago? I mean, what he did and what he helped to be a part of, because it's not just him, obviously, right? It's the front office, the personnel, everything that went into that Cubs World Series title. It wasn't just Joe, but Joe was definitely a piece that was a big part of it. It's how much of a leash do you have after that World Series? And we're in a world where we demand things, and everyone doesn't worry as much about the past, and they're worried about now and about the future. So the pressure is on, and you're in a spot now where, and this is amazing, it changes so quickly. I mean, Cubs fans are expecting more. I mean, they've seen the glory land, they've been to the promised land, and now they want to get back there again. So you've seen that with the Boston Red Sox too in the past, obviously when they won in 2004, and after that, the expectations are raised, and it's just changed ever since then in Boston. I mean, you could be a manager and have one or two good seasons, and then have one bad season, one bad start, and be gone. I mean, you could look at John Farrell. I mean, how long of a leash did he have when he came in his first year and won a World Series? And we saw, what, I don't remember exactly how many years, maybe a few years after that, and then he was gone. So I think you're looking at the Cubs in a similar realm. I think you're also looking at a change in the manager role, and not necessarily in a bad way, but the salary for Joe Maddon's high. If it's not the highest, it's one of the top three in the sport. So when you do have a salary like that, the expectations are going to be higher. So I think you add all of that up, and they're expecting the Cubs to go at least very deep into the postseason for everyone to be happy at the end of 2019. And I think that's fair based on this being their window of opportunity. You go through a rebuild period like that, John, because you're expecting to have multiple years of success. The Cubs have had that. There's no doubt about that. I mean, making the LCS pretty much on a yearly basis up until this year, that is important. That's meaningful. And the postseason is a tournament. You're not always going to win the World Series at the end of things. And I think if you told Cubs fans, hey, we're going through this rebuild, if you told them when they were going through it, what, starting 7-8 years ago, hey, we're going to win a World Series, I think they would have just taken one. So you're happy, but once you get it, you want more. You're hungry for more. So that's what's going on in Chicago right now, and I think that's fair, and I like that the front office and ownership and everyone else holds things to a high standard now and says, hey, now that we've won one, we have this under our belt, we're not the lovable losers anymore. Let's be the lovable winners.
Shifting gears to your personal career, I'd mentioned in your bio that you've been with MLB Network since 2012, and you've hosted many different shows along the way. How much does it mean to you to be a part of this network?
Oh, I love it. MLB Network has grown and grown all in a positive way. I mean, when I first started here, like look at the postseason, or excuse me, the offseason, for example. I think we had one or two shows in the offseason. Now we have, at least four or five going on in the offseason, which I just love to be a part of all of them. They're all so unique. I think when you're watching, I mean, whether you want to see MLB Now and the panel and a different crew every day that's up there on the desk, or Hot Stove every morning with Matt and Harold kind of giving you the news right when you wake up, because there's always so much news that's being reported in the morning from insiders. So and then obviously during the season, I mean, it's incredible. It's like we've had so many new studios pop up, new technology, but John, it's really been a blessing. It's been such an amazing experience to be a part of this, and I love the way that I can pop on to the Rundown, MLB Tonight, then go, and this past season we had games that we called for Facebook, a game of the week, which was fantastic and fun to be a part of, and, you know, just the variety. I mean, I love the variety that's in my life right now, in my work world, and MLB Network has just run so well, and really the biggest part is the people here, too. I mean, so talented, so understanding, so caring. I mean, these are people that, you know, you would want to hang out with after work, but they're also people that if you needed help with something, they are who you would turn to right away. So I can't talk enough about the crew behind the scenes and how much, you know, everybody puts into every day here, because baseball is going every single day, and there is no off season. There also is no break during the year. I mean, even if, and this is perfect, if you're off on a Sunday and you show up on Monday, whether you're a producer, a researcher, a broadcaster, you don't go, I don't know what happened yesterday, I was off. I mean, everybody is turned on every single day in terms of their baseball knowledge and what they're paying attention to, and then all off season long, because the beauty of baseball, John, is that our off season stretches. When you look at some of the other sports, like the NBA and the NHL, a lot of the signings and trades get done in a very small window. And there's pros and cons to all of that. But for baseball, since that gets stretched almost really until spring training, we always have that conversation flowing of who's going to sign where and who could get traded where. So the activity never stops, which means we really are 24/7, 365, and it's put together so well here to be able to operate like that.
You know, I happened to catch Intentional Talk the other day on MLB Network and noticed that you were selected as someone who would have the toughest time giving up social media for 7 days. Do you agree with that statement?
I would agree with that statement, John. I think most of it has to do with stories. I love stories, but mostly Instagram stories, but Snapchat stories too, and Facebook stories. So I think I can, and I've been pretty good with it. I try in the off season. I'm also big on quality over quantity for posts, because on Instagram, I like to just put my most important or stuff, or stuff that I'm most proud of, or stuff that I want to be more permanently up there, say on my Instagram page. But on a daily basis, I would say it's pretty rare to hop over to my page at Scott Braun and click on the little circle there in the top left corner and not have some type of content, some type of story, whether it's something food-wise that I made at home, whether it's hanging at the beach in the off season, whether it's usually on a daily basis, something in the studio with whoever I'm working with. We go selfie mode and we talk about what we're about to do on the show. So I guess I can't help myself, and I kind of grew up with it at this point. I mean, we're all used to that stuff. You know too. So it's very difficult to pull that off, but I'm going to try once or twice to take at least a few days off and just not touch the phone, because it's healthy for you.
Scott, thank you so much for being here on the show today. Had a great time as always, and hope to have you on again soon.
Yeah, thanks, John. That was great. Appreciate it.
Well, there you have it. What an honor it was to have Scott Braun on the show today as we talked with him about the MLB awards, some free agency news and notes, plus his so-called addiction to social media. Really happy that Scott was able to take some time and join us here on the show today. He hosts every day on MLB Network, whether it be MLB Tonight, MLB Now in some cases, or The Rundown during the season. So he is definitely a prolific voice here in baseball today, and it was really nice for him to take the time and come on today's show. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Chi-Talk Sports and hit me up personally. On Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click confirm on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. By the way, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you enjoy this podcast, listen to me on the radio every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHBK-FM Chicago. We always talk Chicago sports, some national sports issues as well, and of course, we always have a special guest on the show. Feel free to tune in. Give me a call, too. It's a call-in format. Remember, that's every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. Thank you again for listening in to today's show, and have a great day.